Three-man rush, and Young stumbles on the way back and fires up the middle. Pass is caught by Owens. Owens made the catch.
Oh, Darrell Owens was having a rotten day, but on one play here, does he make up for it?
That was one of the greatest games that I've ever seen. You know, I don't know what more you could ask for in a football game.
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Yes, the catch two. Why do I bring it up? I'll tell you in just a moment here. Hi and hello, and welcome to 2019 and the Dave Dameshek Football Program presented by Head & Shoulders as always. We're ready to get you ready for the postseason of 2018, even though it is 2019, and that presents perennially some weird conversations about, wait, was that 2008? No, that was 2007, but it was played in January. Anywho, let's get into all of it. And first of all, let's say hello to Studio 66. Ready to roll here in a new year, a playoff year. But his team's not in it, neither is mine. He is all the way from London, England, our resident Miami Dolphins fan. It's Handsome Hank. I don't think we need the whole thing. We don't need the whole thing. We can turn it off.
Dave, I have a request for you.
Yes.
Hi, how are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
It's nice to see
you.
You look almost exactly the same as when I left you in the old year.
Heavier than ever. Heavier than ever. Yeah, when you left me, it was during the Shecky Awards.
I apologize for that. I listened to the rest of it, and what a terrific show you had right up until the moment that Money just excused himself because he was hungry.
That was very strange.
I've never heard anything like it.
Well, I didn't think that Handsome Hank Hodgson was the picture of class either. He gathered his award. The only one for which he was nominated, and then he bailed.
Well, funnily enough, that's where my request comes in. Dave, I'd like to, throughout the time that I've been on the DDFP, by the way, I love being on your show, you refer to me as our resident Miami Dolphins fan. If possible, for the next 12 months, I'd like to remove that moniker completely. I'm just not interested in that team at the moment or anything they've got going on. I've had enough of them.
Okay.
I would like to be... when you introduce me as current Shecky Award winner,
okay,
for whatever the category is,
clearly meant a lot to him.
It did, and then I'd also like, and also the guy we named the Hank Trophy after for the. That's what
That's
how I'd like from now on.
The titular. You want me to call you the titular face of
titular
of the.
I like titular.
That works.
The titular face of the Handsome.
Let's try it now.
Okay. Here he is all the way from London, England. He is, of course, the titular face of the tie-off trophy.
Well, that's
all there is to say. What else does anybody need to say about someone who has that honor?
And reigning
Shecky Award winner.
Let's not push it, huh?
Yeah, you're right.
None of your business. Keep out of this.
Let's not push it.
It's Handsome Hank.
Okay, that'll do it.
Okay, I like
Thank you.
That has a nice ring to it.
I'm just not into the Miami Dolphins.
Can I ask
like
a question?
Adam Rank before you, at least for 1 year, this doesn't go well. You're becoming a fan free agent.
No, I'm not doing that.
You'll return to the Dolphins.
No, I'm a fan of good football, and the Dolphins have not used that brand much.
I know we have
time.
A lot of important things to talk about, not just even the 12 teams lucky enough to get into the postseason, but there's a team that plays on the banks of the Three Rivers, or rather, more accurately, does not play currently on the banks of the Three Rivers.
Crimea Three River, Dave. It must be awful being.
I don't understand. Stuff. That's the note I've been getting from fans across Football America. Like, Crimea River. Try being a blank fan. Not the measure.
You've tasted, you know, the good stuff recently.
It's gross. Like I promised I would. I had to cleanse myself. You know, I had to do a deep cleanse, and so a bath wouldn't do it. I just walked 5 times through a car wash in the San Fernando Valley over the weekend.
Big business, them car washes in California, by the way.
I just kept going through, and they're like, I was in my car when I pulled up and they're like, sir, you can't just walk through by yourself. Then I got out of my car. Right. They're like, no, you're big enough. You can get through.
Yeah, you can get through.
Oh, look at that.
You're about the same size as the average truck.
Yeah, you went. Well,
wow, you went truck.
I was going to say I weigh more than a Mini Cooper, but I don't know about a truck. Jeez. You go too far sometimes.
Sorry, Dave.
Handsome Hank. Anyway, so they're not your Dolphins, so not your worry anymore.
Correct.
Adam Gase. I think he's going to be a head coach somewhere. Let's ask.
Right away.
Let's ask someone who probably knows a thing or two about that. He is the voice of your Los Angeles Chargers, bound for Charm City on what, Saturday?
Friday, we'll Sunday. Leave.
But, oh, the game's Sunday.
Game is Sunday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, yes.
You want to get a whole Saturday there, though.
Before I, you know what, Saturday. Though, now that I think about it, before that game was played, I was assured that I had nothing to worry about as a Steeler supporter because the Chargers, when the Ravens came out to Carson, California, would lose that game, and that would put the Steelers into the playoffs. Wrong! But now we get a rematch. We'll see if old man Rivers can take care of the Ravens. We'll talk about all of it, but let's say hello to one half of the greatest radio show in all the land, Petros and Money, available on iHeartRadio and beyond. It's Matt Money Smith.
Enough.
Do you watch your Hawks play in the ice game or whatever they call it, the winter shootout?
I watched a little bit of it. I was watching a lot of college football that day. I did a whole lot of nothing on New Year's Day, but I did like the shamrocks that lined the rink. I thought it was a pretty cool look. For anyone that's ever been to that venue, it's a pretty special place. I just...
Not a great tailgate. Overrated as a tailgate
Certainly.
Spot. People like to hail it as such, and I've done a lot of tailgating in my life, and I can tell you, it's just a bunch of parking lots.
It's the walk up the campus on the way to the stadium that is special. It's a beautiful campus. South Bend, not the greatest spot around. But
not that beautiful a campus either. Indiana University is far superior in almost every regard outside of football.
Yeah, I would say so. The Rolling Hills, the Granite. For those of you that want to watch a great film that tells the tale of Bloomington, Indiana, breaking away and
that
the cutters and all the granite that they dug up to build that glorious university, a campus that they were shunned from frequenting because they were just local schlock compared to the higher education
folks.
You know
what's funny? I didn't even put two and two together, but I crossed paths about 2 weeks ago with one Dennis Quaid.
Come on.
Yeah, I just met him. And as I
like, was that appointment based or just randomly you crossed paths?
He was in to do an interview with Adam Carolla, and so he and I crossed paths over there at Carolla headquarters. And a jerk. That's all. I'm a meaningless jerk in the big on the big blue marble. So I like to take my shots where I can take them. And so as I have done in the past with some other high profile actors, I said I picked out an early movie and said, "Man, you are great in Caveman." And he launched into the Ringo Starr classic, of course, from 1980. And he didn't bat an eye and just launched into it. He's like, "Yeah, that was a lot of fun to make. But I'll tell you, I was attached at the hip for 16 hours to Ringo. That was not easy." Then we talked about John Matuszak for a little bit, and that was it.
Good stuff.
It was fun.
How about that cast, by the way, of Breaking Away? Regularly overlooked because it was, I guess it's kind of classified as a sports movie. If you classify it as a sports movie, it is one of the all-time great sports films ever made. And for those that don't know, it surrounds the Little 500. You went to Indiana University, the bike race down there, and the Cutters were the local team that enters to take on all the fancy frat boys. But you got Dennis
They're still
Quaid.
A team, by the way, in real
Every
life,
year, yeah.
But they're students. But yes, they go by Cutters as independents, not as associated with a fraternity or sorority.
I think the granite holes, whatever they would be called, have since filled in down there because you just dig for granite until you hit water and then it fills up and it becomes the granite quarry. I think they have all filled in down there.
What do you mean? They're still filled with water or not?
Yeah, I think what happens, you just dig until, and then all of a sudden it becomes these weird swimming holes that people go out to do recreational drugs.
Yeah.
And actually there was that scene in Breaking Away where they were jumping off those granite cliffs into the water.
Go ahead with the cast. Why are you so impressed? Because I'm going to drop your jaw, I think, Matt Money.
You are.
Look at Handsome Hank looking behind the glass, and I don't know who.
I think Emma just made the motion where they're like, let's just cut
this
portion.
She's done. So you got Dennis Quaid.
Right.
Daniel Stern as the lanky, goofy, non-athletic, but damn, a lot of grit on that Cutters team riding that bike, right? Jackie Earl Haley.
Yep.
Kelly Leak from Bad News Bears is in that film.
Nice pull. Yeah. Kelly Leak. That's a good one. But get ready for this, Matt Smith. You know the bad guy boyfriend from the jerk fraternity house who torments them in the quarry.
Yes.
And so on. And then, and in fact, I can't think of the guy's name, the main bike rider guy steals the girl.
Right.
Because he's doing the, what
he's
is
got
he,
a beautiful
Italian?
Head of hair. Yeah, he's Italian. He's Cinzano. Cinzano is his
Cinzano. He loves
exactly.
that. Right. He steals the girl, the guy who's who has his lady stolen from him as a jerk. Also, the jerk who gets killed in Die Hard, who gets shot in the office.
Come on.
Booby, come on. Let's make a deal.
That's Booby?
That's the guy who
good
gets,
pull.
Yeah.
See, Emma, it all comes around. Had you told us to cut before that moment, we wouldn't know that Booby. Come right. on, let's make a
the
deal.
Seven the seven people the guy still listening to this would never
dude.
Know that.
The Coke snorting bearded guy.
Yeah.
Like, I know,
yeah.
Listen, I, you know, he,
hey, I do deals.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll figure this out. All right, my mistake. It's my fault.
Okay.
Then he
I
gets shot.
Is there anyone still with us?
I will say this.
If you're still listening, shout.
I don't listen. I don't care.
I can hear nothing.
Fine. I'll tell you this. I'm going to be more self-indulgent now. The reason that I played that Steve Young to Terrell Owens touchdown pass, the catch two, it marks 20 years ago that day because I remember standing at the LAX luggage carousel waiting for my bags. It was my first day as an Angeleno. 20
You're
years
kidding.
Ago. This moment.
He caught it. He caught it.
I didn't know.
That moment.
I said, well, I remember standing
Look
there and talking
Look
to whoever
that.
Was around and saying, does anybody know who won that Packers-Niners game? Because people were talking about football or whatever. And 20 years later, here we sit.
That's
and,
exciting, Dave. Congratulations.
And I've interviewed many of the guys on both of those teams. How about that? 20 years later. I love it.
I love that as well. Congratulations.
I know.
I was about to say I love you, but I don't.
I am way past my expiration date by the accounting of anybody who's indulged me for 4 minutes. Like, it's enough already. Mm-hmm. And I've well exceeded that. So I'm way – I have to – I watched the Adam Sandler Netflix special. Did you watch that?
Yep.
It's great stuff. And it did say to me – not that I'm conflating myself with Adam Sandler – although I did once say to Adam Sandler, and it's on camera, I did once say to him when I met him, hey, you were great on The Cosby Show. Because he was, remember, he was Cockroach and Theo's good friend. Remember that?
No.
No?
No.
He was when he was a
and what did he say?
Teenager. He laughed. He thought he got the spirit of what I was saying. But I watched that, and at the end, he basically pays tribute to himself, and it's a little like, well, you're honoring yourself here. He's like, yeah, what am I going to do? I can't believe it. You know, it's weird. So I, not conflating myself with Adam Sandler, say, I know, like, by end of today is probably more likely than 5 years from now, someone's going to come and go, like, all right, get out of here. Yeah, move out of Los Angeles.
It's over.
It's enough already. I celebrate now because it could end
back to the mines
at any moment.
That's exactly right.
Back to the mill, Georgievich.
Get back to the banks of the Three Rivers.
I feel responsible for knocking us off topic. So if I may get us back on topic, would you permit me that?
No, I want to say one more thing. There are many people who are responsible for me being here 20 years later. And
this
Matt
really
Money
is
Smith,
a big tribute
Matt
to
Money
yourself.
Smith, Matt Money Smith is prominent in that. Matt Money Smith is a mensch, as anybody who Stop. Has ever crossed paths with him knows, in this business, is one of the rarest things of all. He's a generous person who looks to help other people elevate when so many other people are trying to make sure that they stay atop the mountain and kick everyone else down so
yep.
that they cannot be reached. Matt Money Smith goes out of his way to help other wow. people elevate a little bit. So kudos to you, Matt Money Smith. Handsome Hank.
I'm not on the mountain.
You're also here.
No, I'm not on the mountain. I stay on the plains. I'm not even trying to climb that mountain. I'm on the plains below.
That's right.
Just looking up at you guys.
All right.
If you will
adoringly.
Yes. If you will permit me.
Yes. Oh, my God. What's happening next?
Here we go now.
Blocking everyone with an anti-Notre Dame take because it means they didn't watch college football.
Did you watch a college football game that was played a few days ago?
Ah!
There was one team in all orange that was playing. They were doing a lot of dancing and stuff.
My final statement on this, I think people have to know.
Says who?
There's two, I think Cam will probably back me up on this. Pete Sampson, I think, tweeted this. That there were just two great teams, like six good teams, and then there's everyone else, and that's what happened.
I'm trying to find your one tweet. I think you may have deleted it because it was so egregious.
I don't delete tweets.
You don't? All right. Because I believe the gist of it, and I'll try to do it justice, was 9 out of 10 times this game doesn't look like this. You're right. 10 out of 10 times that game looks like that.
No, I
10 out of 10 times that game looks like that.
Let him, have his hypothetical nonsense, Victor.
10 out of 10 times.
Why can't you let him have that meaningless?
Because Money himself doesn't believe that. Clemson looked whatever versus Duke.
10 out of 10 times.
You don't believe that, though. You don't believe that.
There's nothing better in an argument. I really have to make my list of do's and don'ts in arguments. And one of the best tacks to take is like, you don't believe
even
that.
You don't believe
but
that.
They don't because do Clemson looked pretty average versus Boston College and Duke. Notre Dame played sloppy. Ian Book had his worst game. It just happens.
Coming from a man who wore an Ian Book jersey to his viewing party. How do you even find an Ian Book? Did you have to go to the bookstore in South Bend to purchase your Ian Book Notre Dame number 12 jersey?
I got a site. I'll let you know off air. It's good.
That's right. The bookman is here. Let's go Notre Dame.
Eddie Spaghetti, you know, I don't know what exactly is going on. Let's not bury the lead with what Eddie Spaghetti has going on. The hairdo for 2019.
The hair today.
Someone made a resolution in your household. It might have been your lady friend Jada. Maybe it was you, but whatever it is, hell.
Just
Lloyd
go natural.
I just didn't want to wear a hat today. So I figured, like, I'll put on, like, nicer clothes and, like, a stupid T-shirt. And I was like, all right, then I don't need to do my hair. I won't wear a hat because it'll look funny with the whole outfit. So I didn't have time to gel it. It takes, like, 15 minutes.
Can we tweet
it takes
out?
15 minutes.
How?
Yeah.
Because
I'm not good at it. I'm sorry. Well, I haven't done it in forever.
But you just...
You got to shape it, and then it's like, I have a caligo. It's a mess. So I don't want to take... If I did that, I would have been late to work.
Now we have to do a little test on that. At some point we need to go down to the makeup room. They have all manner of gels and schmutzes.
Ooh, I like it.
And
yeah, yeah.
Pomades pepper. And what, hair sprays, hair pepper, if you want to get in on some of that, although that's my private stash. I'll allow you to dip into it if you'd like.
Thank you.
Either way, I do think we have to go down there and see exactly how long
we can try. Great call.
I'm hoping I'll get better with practice, but we'll
I didn't
see.
Have time to gel. Is one of the weirdest I
had to go to the gym this morning, so I spent my time.
Oh, humble brag. Hey, look, guys, I had to throw some iron around, all right?
I need it.
It was leg day.
All Eddie Ellipticals back, because over the holidays, I was not good.
Eddie Ellipticals.
Not good. But,
you know. You are the third member of the Dumb and Dumber crew now with Lloyd
fine.
Christmas and the other guy.
I would love to see, like, a slow motion walk into the YMCA, and, like, underneath it says,
that's
Eddie
where I go.
Typical hammer strength pain, dumbbell Dave, and everyone just kind of walking in. it's January 3rd, and here they come.
Eddie Elliptic.
Love that.
That
he's
is
back.
if they ever do take a shot at Dumb and Dumber 3, like,
Eddie
Elliptical. Hey, guess who's along?
Number.
Yeah, it's my fat cousin. Can I be on the? Can I join the thick cast? I think that's where I'm.
I think you would fit in pretty well. Then
I got on the scale. I'll tell you this though.
What the weight? What was the number?
Let's guess. Let's do a little roundabout.
All right, I'll take a spin.
Here we go. Let's do a little roundabout.
Just stand up so we can see.
Okay.
He's a big bone gentleman.
This is easy. I think I know it.
You think you're going
to... I'm pretty good with weight, yeah.
Okay. Who wants to start? I mean, Eddie, if you
I
know
can
it.
Start. I think...
You set the tone.
Because Dave isn't... Dave, like, he makes jokes, but he's not as thick as he really seems in his head.
I'm thick in my head.
He is thick in his head.
Well, yeah. You're not that tall. I would say you're...
I'm 6 feet tall.
No, you're not.
You are?
You're not.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
You're...
So is Russell Wilson and Drew Brees.
I'm 6 feet tall. I measure up. I go to the doctor. He says 6 feet.
I thought
Eddie
had this.
Even.
Why is it taking you so long? You just said I got this.
You're like 188.
Oh, that's way too low.
No, what?
That is
what?
Way low.
Because I'm not. Because no.
That is way low.
Not.
I don't think Dave is.
Dave has
what
not
are you,
seen.
About 245?
Dave has not seen the
me?
Single hundreds. Yeah.
Like
in
is,
a long, right. long time.
Emma, what do you got?
I'm going with 3 bills here.
Seems excessive.
I'm going 222.
Whoa.
222
Jeez,
pounds.
There's no way.
Okay.
I'm going 202.
202.
202.
The correct answer is, and I will say it's one of those digital ones
sure.
when you get on, like, mm-hmm. starts.
Not necessarily all that accurate.
For a split second, a chill went up my spine as I saw it read for it. It teased me. It said 200 point whatever, and then it dropped quickly. Just all of a sudden went 199.6. No. Yeah, that's fat for me. I'm fat. I got to get it down to about like 190.
What are you weighing at the moment, Eddie?
I don't weigh myself, but around about, I'm like 6'2", 210, 205.
So no one asked for your height.
You got to know the full.
I don't weigh myself. Does someone else weigh you?
I haven't slept on a scale, and I just kind of maintain. I know where I'm at.
He just has one of those pinchers for his body fat. What I do know is my body fat is it's 6.5%.
I own a caliber. I know
putting moose in my hair weighs me down. I don't got time for it.
Right now I'm heavier. I'm probably 210. Normal, I'm like 205.
Emma VP, how much you weigh? All right, let's talk about the game of pro football.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll get into the games. We'll do the red challenge flag, get you ready for the wild card. I'm interested to hear what Matt Money Smith, the voice of the Chargers, thinks about this rematch a fortnight after the two teams tangled on the left coast. Money, though, I'll start with you on this. Antonio Brown, the Pittsburgh Steelers, what gives? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think all the speculation that he's going to be traded or cut is ridiculous.
Do you really?
I really do.
I don't.
That's crazy. That is such a huge cap number to have to.
No, they can part with that with very little.
But then they got to replace him.
I know, but the cap thing should be
it's not a $21.9 million cap hit.
They're not that dead money, no. It is not like that. It's a couple million.
All right, then you know what? I think they're probably going to trade him.
I think they are going to. I mean, I really do. And you know, if you watch the press conference,
in the span of 12 months, no Lev Bell, no Antonio Brown.
Right,
on this
and team. Then you're left with Ben Roethlisberger, who's coming to the natural end
that
of his career.
That is crazy.
Why would you do that?
As you know, my glass always is half full about everything in the on this life. It's a blessing.
You really are
this life.
You're that guy.
Two words, cap space. That's the answer to that. Doesn't mean they're going to be good in 2019, but I mean, what are you going to do?
But what does the cap space get them? Like, what does that get them? I mean,
then
it's not like, you know, $21 million bucks, it's a lot of money, but it's for the best receiver in the game of football. Like, you don't just replace that.
Right. But you also, I mean, it is pretty untenable, don't you think?
But
I mean, the guy,
Mike
Tomlin, the head coach, is addressing the media saying, here's what actually happened. I was trying to protect his dignity and keep the team intact, whatever the reasons behind it. But what actually happened, Antonio didn't show up. We couldn't get in touch with him. This is before a game that the Steelers had to win. And, you know, the Browns complete a final drive. We're talking about the Steelers in the playoffs, and we'd still be aware of this Antonio Brown dysfunction. We'd still be having this conversation. But as it is, Antonio Brown, simultaneously, as Tomlin is telling this tale to the press, is with James Harrison, who is another guy who's disparaged Mike Tomlin on his way out the door, is putting up videos on social media, basically condescendingly laughing at Mike Tomlin. I don't know how you continue forward with
that. I mean, what he's done is he quit on his team. Like, I don't know how.
Right, this isn't the Cincinnati Bengals.
No, right.
The
I don't know how you know about that. But my point is that also, every single one of these disputes has also involved, like, the Steelers' issues have involved Ben Roethlisberger as a common part of it as well. Whether it's booting coordinators out of there.
So what's your resolution to that?
Roethlisberger is coming to the end of his career as well. It comes down to if Mike Tomlin's on the hot seat going into next season, right?
As a
fan, yeah. So, would you rather go into
not any buzz coming out of the organization as far as that goes? That
so
it's just
for him, is he the only person who's able to make it right with Antonio Brown, and then with the rest of the team with Antonio Brown is Mike Tomlin. So does he want to go into a season where he's on the hot seat, possibly loses his job, with the best receiver in football or without him?
A fascinating point.
And if you were going to trade him
out there,
why destroy his value by making all that public? You know, to me, it's like if you're going to trade him, you're going to say, hey, look, you know, we love Antonio. We want Antonio to stick around, you know, and then GM start calling
that's
you and you say, hey, we'll take 2 seconds. We'll take, you know, but not to go out and say, I think what you do is you try to turn the tide against Antonio and get him to come back with his hands out. Like, I'm sorry, you know, I let you guys down. Let's make this right. To me, that's kind of how it reads. It just seems crazy to trade that guy away. This is a really good football team. I mean, they're good on both lines. I assume, you know, look, Ben Roethlisberger, is he at the end of his career? Sure, but he's still pretty damn good. It's not like you go into next year saying, Steelers don't have any chance with that Ben guy at quarterback.
Well,
like, I don't see that
happening. It's not a small matter if, let's say, 84 is on the roster come 2019, they do all of a sudden have $15 million that they didn't have a year ago because 26 is not coming back. Although, you let Antonio Brown go, you know, what have we heard from Le'Veon Bell? Oh, he's a receiver as well. Perfect. Solve two problems. Bring back – oh, no, wait, I don't think that's going to happen either.
There's also, it's a team that's drafted well. You know, so it's not like you can't fit. Look, how many times do we see rookie running backs come in and light it up, regardless of what round they're taken in? I mean, with that offensive line, you don't think you can go out and draft a legitimate running back, you know, to help rotate, I guess, with Jalen Samuels and James Conner and all? Of course you can. It's not, that team is not far away.
I have largely taken the sky is not falling angle on this, but I mean, I do get and I do think that if you wait things out, that things look a little bit better than they do a week, a week after the fact, a month after the fact, whatever. I don't know. I can absolutely see come March the Steelers trading him away. That's a
maybe, maybe. But I mean, then you get.
I mean, if Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown don't get along, which would seem to be the case at this point, I don't really know how you move.
But then if you do and you get a first rounder or you get a second rounder and a first rounder for him over a couple of years, then you start packaging that up and get Ben Roethlisberger's replacement. That would be the best outcome for him.
Or perhaps they have it. And Mason Rudolph, they seem to like him quite a bit. But either way,
and he's only got 1 year left, right? So I don't know how much you get. How much do you really get for Antonio Brown on the trade market outside of just getting rid of that salary? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I can't envision. Although I guess, you know, with 1 year left on his deal, the Cowboys gave up a one. So maybe you can get a one for Antonio
Brown. Well, the one thing I'll say about it is this. Yes, it is weird that this team isn't in the playoffs. They didn't have Le'Veon Bell all season. I think you heard about that. And yet they still could be in the mix. And the vexing, bemusing thing about this era of the Pittsburgh Steelers is that for all the drama and get AB out of there and Roethlisberger's a diva too and Mike Tomlin has lost control and all that talk, legitimate as it is, if Jarvis Landry, after scooping that ball impossibly to keep the drive alive in Baltimore, then catches the next ball thrown out into the left flat, or at the sticks, I should say, by Baker Mayfield, catches that, and the Browns kick a field goal, and the Steelers are in the playoffs. They're not just in the mix. What we're talking about is now, it's like, I'll tell you who the people don't want to play are the Steelers. Sure. They went down to New Orleans and beat that team that was highly incented to win that game to get themselves a bye. Pittsburgh won that game, essentially, were it not for a couple of bad calls. That's what is insane about this team, that you can be that loaded, that scary. And so it's hard to say, pull the plug on it. Just reboot. The answer is, why would you get rid of Antonio Brown? Because it's full-on reboot. We're just starting from scratch. We're getting rid of all the diva behavior.
To your point, I don't think anyone looks at that team and says the talent isn't there. It's more about the culture and the, you know, everything, the chemistry in the locker room. And I guess probably is either Ben or Antonio Brown or Mike Tomlin not being able to pull it all together.
The one way you, I guess, try to reconcile the idea of getting rid of him is Juju's a number one. You know, do we feel good enough about our number two or our number three, be it Rodgers, Washington, whatever it may be? And between Vance McDonald or if you draft a tight end, is there enough for us to replace that to get rid of all this, to just get rid of this distraction?
I think that's where they're going to go.
That's what it is.
Because it's been 3 years.
It's football value. It's chemistry.
This hasn't boiled over from mid-December to now. This is 3 years in the making. This has been, country club attitude, it seems like, or to cover up or to obscure these things that are happening with their high-end players, and Le'Veon Bell's going to work out, and that was an embarrassment for the organization, surely, the way the Bell thing went down. Now this, I wouldn't be surprised if someone in the Rooney family blows in a call to Kevin Colbert and says, "This, I don't know what you guys are doing, but this is not who we want to be seen as being in the National Football League. We must start from scratch." I could see that happening, and I think that is kind of the...
And I would imagine you can get a second for him. You know, I would imagine there's a team willing to pony up a second for that guy.
The other thing is, one more thing about Antonio Brown, and then we'll go on, but a larger point about it is that it is very strange for the obsession that we have in talking about these guys because they're fun to watch and everything else. Very rarely in the 21st century are the teams that win Super Bowls the ones that have those guys. They no Terrell Owens, no Randy Moss. The Patriots Chad almost Johnson. Did it. Those guys don't get over the hump. I mean, they, you know, Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne did, but I mean, those are
But those were receivers who were kind of exceptions to the diva type rule.
I suppose. But yeah, but the larger point is, if you think, how can you give away that guy? He's too good to give him away. It's not an essential piece that you need to have to win Super Bowl. So,
hey,
all right.
Emma, do you think this is a front runner for the most overused Shaq bit of 2019?
Definitely, because this conversation is going to go on for months. So.
Yeah.
I think you might as well just get one of those trophies right now. I wonder if the Steelers will just leave it quiet because there's really nothing they can do between now and March. So will it be something for us to pick over for the next 2 months? I don't know. I think
Super Bowl week. Believe me, Antonio Brown will be in Atlanta.
No question.
He'll be on every network. They'll be. Oh yeah. This will be the topic of conversation.
He was just on The Masked Singer, for God's sakes, last night. This is not someone who's going to sit it out.
I know, but I wonder if Drew Rosenhaus will be like, "Hey, AB, come over here and keep a low profile here. Let's not do the media row. That's not going to help our case here. If you hit the media row and start disparaging,
and how does Antonio respond to that? Yeah. Shut up, Drew.
Shut up, Drew. I'm getting a new agent.
All right, let's get to it then. The teams that are still in the mix, the 12 lucky teams out of 32 that will be playing this week and next. It's time for the wild card round edition of the Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Red Challenge Flag Picks!
Man, I got to come hard if I'm going
to
get past Hank. Sorry.
Poor Texans. Are they really the first game again? They always, if it's
of
the Texans,
they are. The Texans against the Colts that Saturday, afternoon.
Houston Texans are perennial hors d'oeuvre to start the playoffs. That really is how they treat it. No wonder they have a chip on their shoulder. But then again, I will say that perhaps they deserve that slot since for all their success, I think one of the most undercovered things in the last decade is when you talk about the teams that generally get to the postseason, the Patriots, obviously, Ravens and/or Steelers, Packers, generally speaking, and so on. But no one talks about the Texans. They win that division a lot. It's weird. I mean, I guess the division generally is.
I mean, injured Andrew Luck has shifted that a little bit.
But nevertheless, they're winning divisions. But the problem is the bugaboo, and it's not a small one, is that they don't do anything when they get to January. Right. This is the time that they must make that change. I don't love this matchup for them.
Nope.
With Andy Luck and company rolling into town. Handsome, I'm going to start with you on this one. It's the Colts. It's the Texans. It's an AFC South redo. And by the way, in week four, in overtime, these two teams are both terrible. There's one win between them.
Yeah.
The Colts had won in D.C. in week two, if I remember correctly. The Texans were 0-for at that point. Frank Wright goes for it in overtime, and this essentially propels both teams to better days. And now round three, Colts, Texans, Handsome Hank. Choose.
I'm going to take Houston.
Oh, I thought you were going to go 12. Money throws the red challenge flag. He likes Luck on his side.
I do.
Tell us more.
Great offensive line and a pretty darn solid underrated defensive front that's going against, I would say, the worst offensive line in the postseason.
Definitely the worst.
I think Andrew Luck has a 510-yard passing game and a 460-yard passing game against him in their two games. This season, they've just looked like the better team when they've squared off. You have that weird fourth down call by Frank Reich that cost them the game the first time around, and then they went down to Houston a few weeks ago and just beat the snot out of them. So I don't see. I feel like this Colts team is the proverbial team nobody wants to face because you got an O-line that is damn good, even though they're young, especially with the return of Ryan Kelly since he said he's coming back. A running back rotation with Nyheim Hines and Marlon Mack that now seems to balance out what's probably a little bit of a lack of pass catchers. But at the same time, Andrew Luck's been so good. If I go through the wild card teams, you can probably make the case that he's the best quarterback in this round in terms of how he's playing right now in this moment. I think maybe Russell Wilson would be the other one just because Phillip Rivers has really struggled the last couple weeks. So I would say if you tell me I get to pick any of the quarterbacks in this round, I'm taking Andrew Luck for this weekend. And quarterbacks typically, I don't know, dictate a little bit of how these games are going to turn out.
I love that you just brought all that up because you know what I like about this game? Why I think the Texans are going to win? For all the talk of Andrew Luck, and rightly so, he deserves it 4 months ago. Many of us, including me, were saying, I'm not a doctor. I don't know if he's ever going to look the same again. All I hear is he can barely hold a football, and here he is taking his team to the playoffs. But let's not sleep on the other quarterback, the big game performer himself, Deshaun Watson, who's played well the last month. Deshaun Watson, that's who. And if you cut him loose a little bit, a guy who can negate, as we've seen, there are a handful of guys who can survive a crummy O-line in front of them. I think Deshaun Watson is one of those guys. And right. If you cut him loose and say, with the premise being, we have 6 months, run him around. Hey, Deshaun, we can't have you running all over the place week in and week out. This is the NFL. You're going to get hurt, and then you're not doing us any favors on the sideline. Now you go for broke.
They took the training.
Make plays. Be the star of the team. You're our man.
They stand there and get hit 60 times.
No, they took the training. They took the training wheels off him last week and said, "All right, don't worry about standing back there. You make plays. Run around there."
Right?
That's what they're going to do this week.
Sure.
And they're healthy in the secondary, finally, which they were not. If you want to knock them for the Eagles loss, which I do, because, of course, they would have been a 2 seed if they would have just held on and they'd be resting right now, and the Patriots would be looking into the abyss of wild card weekend. Instead, it's now the Texans. I think the secondary, I usually go with, you know what's hard to do? Is lose to a team twice and then beat them. But this is now split. There's a weird result. I agree with you that the Colts have been the better team in the first two matchups. But Romeo's got to figure something out to take away an injured T.Y. Hilton sufficiently that your home team is going to be able to outscore the Colts. That's what I'm betting on. That plus one of those three corners that they have, all of whom are good corners, by the way. Kareem Jackson is a nice one, but have him double T.Y. What's going to kill you on that? Eric Ebron's going to burn you?
That's what it is. It's the tight ends. I mean, it's Stanford all over again, right? Giant offensive line that gets a push, gives Andrew Luck time to throw in the middle of the field to his tight ends. I mean, that's what he did at Stanford to the tune of 10 wins a year, and that's kind of what Chris Ballard has built there. With the lack of legitimate pass catching outside receivers, and Luck has been able to adapt. Again, for me, it comes to and by the way, Kenny Moore's pretty darn good corner. Does not get a lot of credit in Indianapolis. Marcus Hunt has resurrected his career, since he came over there. So it's and Darius Leonard's just a tackling machine, right? So it's kind of like you have and Malik Hooker, and now I'm just doing the whole sports radio guy name thing, right? Yeah, let me tell you that Malik Hooker too. And don't forget about that Darius Leonard, but what I'm saying is you have a quality player on every level of that defense to try to keep Deshaun Watson in check. Now, you're absolutely right. That is the ultimate X factor. Here is someone who has performed exceptionally in the biggest moments when it requires him to play above and beyond his skill set. And if you watch Alabama the last few years and you think about what that guy did in those games against Alabama, that's all you have to kind of lean on when it comes to what kind of quarterback is Deshaun Watson. He's spectacular.
Pal Patrick Claibon can deny it all he wants. I believe in clutch. I believe in the clutch gene. He does not, I think.
But Luck has it, too. Luck has it, too. I mean, that's a guy that went to an AFC championship game. When you look at that roster he took to the AFC championship, and he's got it as well.
Fair enough.
I'll take the Colts.
All right. If you are right, it will be the Colts at the Chiefs in the divisional round.
Yes.
If I'm right, it gets a little murkier there.
We just have to wait.
Now if I'm right and Handsome's right, it'll be the Texans up in Foxborough, in which case have a big bonfire and burn those Letterman's jackets. You don't want a week of
let's not do that.
All right, next up, Matt Money Smith, you let us know. Talk about no one wants to play this team. It's whoever survives this game in Big D because they both run the ball and play defense. It's the Seahawks. It's the Cowboys. Choose.
Taking the Seahawks.
Really? All three of us are taking
I thought I was going to get two of them.
Anybody? Spaghetti? You want to try to make a case for the Cowboys?
I'm on the Hawks.
It's funny because the thing that people are pointing to, James Jones did it a day or two ago here in Studio 66 with us. Oh, by the way, we should play back the audio of his picks on this too, as a counterpoint. But I'll steal his thunder a little bit and make the note that most are, which is the Seahawks have not played well on the road. They're dominant at home. They're not as much. You know, I'm a pedigree snob. QB, as Matt Money Smith is on record as saying roughly 6.5 minutes ago, QBs matter in the playoffs. 3 is greater than 4 in football terms, ergo Hawks.
Plus the running game. I mean, you've got 3, but then you also have a ground game from Seattle that's really getting going. And I get that Ezekiel Elliott can do that, but the Seahawks running game now, it looks dominant again. And I think they can just grind it out against the Cowboys defense.
To me, it's just defensively that Seattle team is really settled in. You know, we talked about, you know, in weeks past when we're just kind of doing red challenge flat picks for the regular season, just how underrated Frank Clark is as an edge rusher. He's going to give Dak Prescott trouble. If they try to run the ball, Frank Clark is going to be back there. And if they try to run the ball through the tackles, Jaron Reed has been really good. We know that Bobby Wagner is probably the best tackler in the NFL and the best middle linebacker in the NFL. And after kind of dismantling through injury and trades and just straight letting them walk, the Legion of Boom, the secondary is now settling in. And you know, when you have a defense, and it's probably not fair to Dak. I was actually going through his game logs last
I don't think he's guard. A lot
he's
of people
been pretty
declare,
damn good all year long. He has been pretty
he's had
damn
a couple
good.
Of, yes.
Two can, stinkers. He had two really
well,
bad
Well, you can even
games.
Circle drives and just be like, oh, God, that's an NFL QB. But I think over the course of 16 games, he's been fine. People have overstated how big a deficit he is to the rest of the
and
team.
And I guess, and this is probably terrible, but whatever. Jason Garrett's just not a good head coach.
That's
he
another
is,
good
he is
point.
Not
right.
a that's, good that's head a problem. Coach. And that's, to me, you get into a game where we suspect this is going to be a tight contest. Two teams dominate time of possession, grind out 12, 14 play scoring drives. Maybe they end in field goals instead of touchdowns. And now you're in a fourth quarter where the Seahawks are up 1 or the Cowboys are up 2. And you tell me I get a guy who's been to 2 Super Bowls and has been able to remake this team on the fly, or I get a guy who probably should have been fired 5 or 6 times already during his coaching tenure, that to me is going to come into play as well.
All right. Well, so we're all in agreement. I thought somebody would volunteer for America's team, but let's move on to Charm City, shall we? Matt Money Smith on the call with Daniel Jeremiah, who has a side note, Mazel Tov to Mike Mayock. I said this 5 years ago. I like to call my shots like Babe Ruth and 32 and Wrigley. I said this 5-7 years ago. Daniel Jeremiah will be a general manager in pro football. Do you buy that as his partner, Matt Money Smith?
Oh,
unless
yeah.
he doesn't want to.
Oh, yeah. It'll be up to him. I see
somebody will
when we go on the road, he is interacting with every single GM, every director of player personnel. He is universally beloved.
Except by you for some weird reason. Why do you think he can't hack it? I'm jealous.
I think he took a lot of the limelight.
I want to talk to the GMs. I want to talk to the West Coast area scout. No, I don't get to talk to him. Yeah. When we're doing our lap, who am I talking to? The guy with the Lucha Libre mask that's got lightning bolts on the side, and DJ's over there talking to the president of football operations.
I think it would behoove you, Money, to be a little bit less public about
Oh, is this
the issue between the two of you?
Oops.
Why? It's worked out for the Steelers. So, all right, let's talk about the Chargers and the Ravens, both of whom dumped the Steelers. And maybe we should. I'm sick. We should be talking about the Chargers at the Steelers right now. But okay, we're not. We're talking about the Chargers at the Ravens. Matt Money Smith's not even going to pick this one. No. So, Handsome Hank. Well, we know he's going to pick the Chargers. So, Spaghetti, you jump in here. Handsome Hank, Chargers, Ravens, choose.
You guys have both talked about teams that no one wants to face. For me, it's the Ravens. I mean, and the Ravens will win this game.
I agree that no one wants to play them.
But you threw the flag.
Because 52 years worth of Super Bowl evidence, which means 104 teams that have entered the tournament, none of them have been carried to a Super Bowl by a rookie quarterback. Lamar Jackson.
I'm not talking about them winning the Super Bowl. I'm talking about them winning this game.
I know it's the first step.
In Baltimore.
I think, by the way, to go against what I just said there, Lamar Jackson, partially because of the philosophy, there's not as much pressure on him. He doesn't walk out onto the field thinking, like, if I don't come out slinging and throwing strikes, my team's going to lose. That's a lot of pressure on me. He's put in a position to run around. But even with that being said, he was so good in that game against against the Browns. He gets no credit. Baker Mayfield gets all the credit for coming out there and being heroic and all that. Lamar Jackson hit the field going full speed with the season on the line, shaming professional athletes. Right. You know, professional athletes. He embarrassed once again, handing the ball off to Gus Edwards and fat Kenny Dixon. Now, when are we ever going to talk about what happened to Kenny Dixon in those 2 months off? He really got fat, but he's still good.
He's a big guy.
Either way, the thing that people have pointed out to me, people smarter than I have said, go back and watch some of that Carson game and watch that how Eric Weddle gets inside 17's head over the course of 60 minutes. Phil Rivers doesn't like it. Eric Weddle knows what Phil wants to do. But the other side of that is Phil Rivers is smart enough, too, to now know how to react to what Eric right. Weddle. And what's further, Gus Bradley now has 60 minutes of tape on what the Ravens want to do, like a pitcher who goes through the league once the first time. He mows them all down. Second time, that's the real test. I think that I'm not sleeping on what the Ravens can do and how good that defense is, but I think Phil Rivers and company, there's something potentially special on the line for them this year. I think they rise enough to survive this one. 20-19. Ooh. The Chargers get it.
I'm not sure that Lamar Jackson, when you watch him, is a guy where you're like, okay, now we've seen him, we've worked him out because of all the things you just talked about. Because he goes out there and embarrasses guys with stuff that you can't game plan for. He's so fleet of foot, money.
In the first game, defensively, the Chargers were great. I mean, they held Lamar Jackson to 39 yards rushing. Outside of the first carry when they were shell-shocked because Rivers threw an interception on the first play from scrimmage, Gus Edwards rumbles for 43 yards. From that moment on, the rest of the game, the running game averaged 3.6 yards per carry. I mean, they adjusted. They had goal line stands where they forced field goals instead of touchdowns. When they needed a three and out, they forced a three and out. The Chargers had their worst, bar none, not even close, offensive game of the season. They were terrible. And they had the ball first and 10 at the Baltimore 39 with 3 minutes left, three timeouts, the two-minute warning, down six. And I think that's – so the question is, can the offense just be average? If the defense stays the same, can the offense figure out what went wrong with the inside of that line, all the stunts and the delayed blitzes they were running, and just get back to average with now a healthy Melvin Gordon, a return of Austin Ekeler? Can they do that to get to 20-19 instead of basically 16-10 before right. the Antonio Gates fumble?
That's how the Ravens play everybody.
Every game
is like that.
The
Buccaneers in Baltimore or the Chargers across the country.
And I don't know if the answer is yes or no, but I mean, that's what they had. The defense right. had it. Gus Bradley had that. He cracked that code for the final two and a half quarters
of
that game.
I'm with you, but the killer is the thing that swung that game, what swung the AFC playoff picture, was Lamar Jackson right after the Ravens, the Chargers finally break through, get in the end zone. They come right back, and Lamar Jackson throws that
his best pass of the year.
On the money. What rivaled by the 1A best passes when he rolled out to the right. Also, the Browns took the score there in the first half, and you thought, you could feel the nervousness coming from the stands down onto the sidelines. And Lamar Jackson on third down was dead to rights in the backfield, and he scrambled away and ran around a couple of guys and then ran up the left sideline, looked like he was going out of bounds, and dipped in for five more yards. I think that was what swung the game that day, and I think what swung the game in San Diego yeah. or in Los Angeles was, or Carson, was that throw by Jackson. That's the, I mean.
Two plays later.
People act like he's like, oh, he's Jamel Holloway. He can't throw the ball. You know, he can throw the ball fine. He gets wide open looks at things.
And I guess, this is just, it sounds like excuse making, but you know, you take that play out. Everyone's like, oh, he had a great passing day. Okay, he had one play where Adrian Phillips blew his coverage. You know, he went for, and look, this is the challenge that the Ravens present.
That's what it is.
He went for the fake, and he lost his half step. Andrews got behind him. Jahlil Adai, who's played out of position all year, took the wrong angle as a free safety. He should be a strong, but he's playing high because Derwin's so good in the box. Ends up blowing it, and it's a 68-yard completion. You know, something that the Ravens do not get a lot of. So.
I think, and by the way, I think that's how do you?
I think you're spot on with the score. It's going to be a super
how do you
tight
slow
game.
Down? How do you slow down Lamar? Is Derwin James? I mean, I don't know if it's that simple as that. Derwin's going to spy him the whole game, but I think.
He was a fingertip away, but that's what's so frustrating about it is Bosa and Derwin. They damn near had him four or five times for losses of 10, 12 yards, and he escapes.
He escapes.
It's maddening. You know, it's got to be maddening for players that are that good and that elite to be that close, only to have that guy hit another gear and just bend and tweak his body into different shapes. It's like nothing you've ever seen, the way that guy escapes trouble.
I think it's very Vince Youngy. I really do. I think, like, when I see, and when he does that sidearm little sling like VY used to do, and that gliding style that he has, very similar to that guy.
Well, whatever happens.
My red challenge flag broke a little bit, so let's get to it here.
Whatever happens, we know that we'll be rooting for money to carry on.
That's exactly right. Postseason. Yes.
That's right.
Good luck.
Let's go. March to the bowl. Not scheduled to be there with you yet, but boy, I hope I am.
Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah, we'll see
you. Darn right.
See you there.
By the way, spoiler alert, that is the way it's going to go. It's the Chargers and the Rams. I told you that in August. All right, here we go. Last one, the story, until it isn't a story anymore and the
next
season
month
is over for the team in green. Well, we'll see about that. It's the world champions at the Chicago Bears, the hometown of one Matt Money Smith. Let's let him do it.
This one's tough. Do I want to get hit with flags or not? I'm going to take the Eagles.
Taste it. Yeah. I love the tough one, man.
I almost said Bears. I did.
Handsome, explain yourself.
I don't think the Eagles offensive line is playing well. I don't think they're going to be able to do anything with that Bears defense. I think there's a lot of reasons. There's no running game to speak of from Philadelphia.
There's that as well.
I don't necessarily see what it is that the Eagles do to win this game.
That's fine.
All
but
you
I,
need
I,
is
I
an
want...
average performance, which is all you're ever going to get from Mitchell Trubisky.
That's what I'm saying. Three interceptions from Mitchell Trubisky is the way I
that's,
just
that
envision.
Maybe is how it happens.
Listen, the spot could be too big for him. We haven't seen what he's capable of doing.
But I don't think they're going to put him in a position
before anything
to do
else.
That. And the Eagles, there's no reason why he should be throwing the three interceptions because they shouldn't.
He should throw 12 times.
Handsome, whatever happens.
To Tariq Cohen.
I want your public apology, and I want it now. I told you 3 weeks ago, if Nick Foles, I said, if he just happens to win three games in a row and gets this team to the playoffs, there will be buzz from Philadelphia. Like, maybe we should be keeping Foles, not Wentz. It took one game for that
to happen.
That is absolutely what people are doing.
By people...
I want your apology. You said I was wrong. You said I was wrong. You laughed. Rubbish.
I'm not apologizing.
I won't apologize.
Wentz is far superior.
People
I told you what would happen, and
idiots,
it's happened.
People are talking like that are idiots.
Really? Are they?
Yes.
They're dumb if
All
they think
them.
That?
Every single one of them.
I don't know, man. I would be hard pressed to say goodbye to Nick Foles if he wins this game. He wins this game.
Because they're not beating the Saints. That is not
They
happening.
Win this game. I don't know how you would rightly be like, Oh, did you hear the news, Eagles fans? Yeah, we traded Nick Foles. We're keeping the kid, though. Almost won the MVP last year.
I think there's no question he's gone next year.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any
think
way
so
they keep
too.
A $20 million guy.
I think so, too. I'm just saying but in a place like Philadelphia, it's not Los Angeles.
Right.
In Philadelphia, that's all Carson Wentz will ever hear about is like, you're not as good as Nick Foles. Should have traded you and kept the other guy. That's what he'll hear. And every human being, maybe it'll steal his attitude,
maybe
but other guys crumble from that. Other guys don't like that. Well, I don't know which one Carson Wentz is. But either way, the Bears.
And this conversation is moot. It was a sweet run there, but the Bears will take
Well, you know what's going to happen? Watch this. The Bears will jump up early because Nagy has had a knack in big games this season. He jumps them. You can see he scripts it out, and they get ahead, and then they hold on. I think that'll be the formula this time. I bet you wouldn't be surprised if it's like 10-0.
I'm lamenting my selection of the Eagles now. I just realized I pick all four wild card teams. Every single game, I pick the wild card team to win every single game. That is not likely to happen.
We will be on Total Access at some point this week, and also look for the video show of the Dave Damashek football program predicting for you.
Really?
I think so. I don't know. I'm going to be talking with handsome David Carr, the two handsome Daves are going to be breaking down the Texans and Colts game as well on Thursday's Total Access.
Who's the other handsome Dave?
That's not a good start to 2019.
David Jones
Drew? Not a good start at all. You want to get nominated for a Shecky Award. That ship has sailed. All right. You know what? You know who's a good
By the
fella?
Way, hold on a second. Wait, whoa. Can I just
nominee?
Say one thing? Coconut.
Yeah, that's right. Delicious. It restored.
You drank some coconut water and it became fruit of the year.
My faith in produce.
That's ridiculous.
When I needed it
Utterly
most,
ridiculous.
The coconut rose up and delivered an
terrible.
Exotic and delicious nectar.
Oh, I mean, awful.
You're awful.
Terrible.
You're both awful. Neither awful. One of you is getting nominated for nothing. All right. You know who might? The great James Jones. Why? Partially because of this very fine conversation we had just the other day about the wild card games. Take a listen.
Approach than we had last time. And I can't wait to see it, but I'm taking Filthy and the Chargers.
All right. And lastly, the world champions are at the Bears. Who else should I possibly say here? Your game MVP, Nick Foles. I dare you to say Nick Foles is going to go into Chicago and win this game.
You know, this is tough because the Philadelphia Eagles remind me of the 2010 world champions that beat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I remember.
I don't know which team that was because I know it's sensitive to you. You know what I'm saying? I don't know who went in there and beat the Steelers, but that 2010 team caught fire at the right time. And we had to go on the road for every single game. And when we got off the plane, we said, we feel bad they got to play us. We just was we was that swagged up. Like, we finna kill.
I feel bad that Rashard Mendenhall fumbled on the first play of the fourth quarter, else the result would be.
We're like, we are finna kill everybody. You could just see people getting off the bus with the swag, and you just knew there's no way we're losing this game. That's how Philly is thinking.
It's weird. I mean, I don't think we're making. I know for all the stuff, every time you turn on your TV, Nick Foles is looking back at you. But it's still not enough in my book. This is weird what's happening. If he wins just one game, I don't know what. Like, people are talking like he has to go in the Hall of Fame. That's a little silly. But
that is very silly.
But he has some crazy records. But he has the most touchdown passes in one game. He has the most completions in a row in one game. He ran the table with the 2017 Eagles. What if he does anything close to that again this year? I don't think he will. I say it's the Bears.
I say it's make it. I say it's
Nick Foles is going to beat the Chicago Bears.
Gets it done, man. And I've always been riding that Eagles defense. I said if they're going to make a run, if they're going to be relevant, that defense has to show up. And I know Nick Foles is playing well, but the defense has been playing.
Wow, Fletcher football. Cox once again somehow slips through the radar. And I guess he just doesn't have the sack totals that people look for, but what he does is free up all those other guys and Michael Bennett out there. Yeah.
And another thing is when you go to Soldier Field, you know you got to prepare for the cold. You got to prepare for the wind. The Philadelphia Eagles, they live in the cold too, man. So it's fair game, and I like the Eagles.
I think it matters who wins those collisions early on. Does Mitch Trubisky, the big kid running around, that was what?
But that's the thing. Do you run it straight at that Philly defense?
You got it. You don't want to be throwing. Hey, Mitch Trubisky, go win us the game with your arm is not a good idea.
Man. Yes.
I will say, listen to James Jones before you listen to me, because he sat in that very chair about 4 months ago. No, actually, you sat to my right, and you said, as we were throwing out bold predictions of teams that would be in the playoffs, I forget who I said, but you said the Indianapolis Colts, and I laughed.
You did. You laughed at me.
I did.
You know, and I said, and the reason why I took the Colts is because of who? I said, Andrew Luck.
I didn't think you had your medical degree and knew how his neck was going to be. I've been proven wrong since then. Last thing before you go get your Pozzoli.
Oh, I can't wait.
You're a wide receiver. You know what goes on in the head of the so-called diva wide receivers that are all over 21st century pro football. The team that you mentioned there in Super Bowl 45 that you defeated, the Pittsburgh Steelers, a mess now. Mm. How say you? Whose fault? Let's look at it this way. Whose fault is it? Is it Tomlin's? Is it Big Ben Roethlisberger's? Is it Antonio Brown's? Or is it a blend of the three?
I mean, you hate to put it on one person. You do. But I got to put all this on Big Ben. And the reason why I say that is because it's never his fault. When he goes on his radio stations, it's what other people could have did. You know what I'm saying? And then it's questions for Mike Tomlin. Then it's questions for AB. It's what these guys are doing. It's never Big Ben's fault. And don't get me wrong, Big Ben's a heck of a player. But when you play the quarterback position, it's more than just throwing touchdown passes and be a heck of a player. You got to be a leader. When stuff like this goes on, your team should respect you enough to listen to you. You know what I mean? So as a leader, I feel like if AB and Tomlin and Big Ben relationship was like that, Big Ben could get all this situated. You know what I'm saying? So I think all the craziness stems from Big Ben. If Big Ben comes out one time like, man, this is my fault AB was acting this way. This is what I did, you know what I mean, to get the reaction like this from AB. you know, or this is what the conversation, me and Mike Tom, this is my fault, and I'll make sure my team gets better.
Is it not, though, just to push back? Don't you think, though, that Ben Roethlisberger, A.B., if you talk to certain people, they'll tell you that A.B. is not where he's supposed to be a lot of the time out there based on the play design. Yeah. Roethlisberger doesn't throw him under the bus on that one.
Yeah, but then again, if you're not in there and know what the play is, then you're never going to know who's wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do we know A.B.'s running the wrong route? You know, it was times we was in the court in the huddle with Aaron and Brett Favre, and they would look at, it's cover two. This is what we're supposed to do. Sometimes they mess up too. That happens. You know, my bad. He'd come back. My bad. It was cover two. That's what you were supposed to do. I was thinking that, and that's fine. You know what I'm saying? But you can't throw your guy under the bus and say, okay, AB out there running the wrong routes. And this,
but he doesn't say that. That's what I mean. He hints at it.
He doesn't, but he does.
But I think here's the thing. I'm not saying Ben Roethlisberger is perfect in terms of comportment, and especially when there's a microphone in front of him. But isn't there something to be – Roethlisberger seems to know what my opinion is. And so maybe that – is that as great as Antonio Brown is, and I put him in the top three of Super Bowl era wide receivers. I put him with Jerry Rice and Randy Moss. I don't think there's anybody ahead of Antonio Brown besides those two. That being said, he is not somebody who would thrive any situation you drop him into. I think Roethlisberger knows if you tried to do this with Tom Brady, you would not be as productive as you are with number seven.
He would have 100 catches.
You think
every
so?
Every year with Tom Brady.
Well, he has 100 catches with Roethlisberger,
every year,
too.
Every year with Aaron Rodgers. Every year with Drew Brees. I mean, AB is a special player.
I agree.
You put him in the Niners offense with Jimmy G coming back next year, with Shanahan at the helm calling these plays, he will have 100.
What is with all this Niners jazz? No, why is there all so much smoke
I'm
around
saying,
that
that's
situation?
The tweet out there, so that's why I know, threw that team out there. But if you drop him in any situation, AB is going ball. AB is a player. If you watch people guard him one-on-ones, I mean, the separation, how he wins, I mean, he's going to get the ball, and he's going to make plays. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. Big Ben and him had, I mean, one of the greatest tandems we ever seen, you know, and they've done some great things together. It ain't all just Big Ben, and it ain't all just AB. They've done some great things together. But I just feel like as a leader of a ball club, I feel like if stuff like this was coming out about Julian Edelman, I feel like Tom Brady being the leader on that team, having the respect of his teammates, could grab Edelman and say, bah, 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 my bad, come out to the – it's all done.
Maybe. You know better than I do. I also have a sneaking suspicion that what Tom Brady does is he knows how to speak into the microphone and then behind the scenes say, like, hey, Belichick, get rid of this guy, man. We can't have him here anymore. But Roethlisberger doesn't have that kind of juice in the Steelers organization.
Yeah, we don't know.
All right. James Jones, go get you some of that Pozzoli stuff. Always good times talking to number 89 here. You listen to Dave Demichek. All right. There's 89 on his way out the door. Here we go to
I wore this hoodie in honor of 89.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
There you go.
Very nice.
There we go.
You look just basic.
Oh, by the way, how about my T-shirt underneath?
Mascot Hall of Fame.
And Whiting, Indiana. That's right.
Good for you, Matt Money Smith. All right. So enjoy the playoffs. Safe travels to you, Matt Money Smith. Enjoy the big game. Enjoy the big games, everybody. Football season's almost over. Enjoy it while you can. Thin Slice of Heaven almost made it. I almost did it. Emma VP already left. She refuses to do it. The Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, will get mad at me. He's behind the glass. I wouldn't dare. Listen, he's all caught up in what the Cowboys are going to do this week. He doesn't care about what goes on in the podcast right now. Oh, I hope we can stop Russell Wilson. I don't know about
Hey, let me tell you something.
I feel like we're not going to hit this one either.
No, we're going to get there. We're going to get there.
Money's hungry again as well.
I'm famished.
Let me tell you, the Eagles, the Rams,
we weren't gonna get there.
The Dallas Cowboys are pretty good. Back with the Blitz.